Good morning. It is nice to see you all here today. It is Thanksgiving. There's so many hymns that we don't sing very often, though we probably should. And so we're going to try to have a medley today, sing a few extra ones. So we're going to start by singing Praise God for the Harvest, then we're going to move straight into Let All Things Now Living with Mary's guidance, and then sing Praises to God. Okay.
Thank you.
Please be seated. So I would direct your attention to the bulletin where there's a number of things that you might want to join in on. The very first one is coming up next week, and we are having a friendship lunch right after church. There we go. A friendship lunch. We haven't had one for a little while through the summer and things, so a friendship lunch. There will be soup provided and buns. There will be vegetarian soup and meat-based soup. So please come along, share in the meal, but we need a bit of help. We need a bit of help to set up. We need a bit of help to serve, and we need a little bit of help to clean up. So a sign-up sheet has gone around for those of you who'd like to help with that, so that we know that we have enough help to go ahead. And same sort of thing, each time we gather, we love to have coffee. And so here is a sign-up sheet for coffee. So if you have signed up for next week, you don't have to do the whole thing. If you've signed up for coffee, you can do coffee and help with cleanup, all is well. So I'll get Carrie to send that one around as well. Carrie has put together a lovely program called Faithful Families, Creating Sacred Moments at Home. And this is a series of things that start October 20th and go through November the 3rd, right after worship. Okay, so you can talk to Carrie if you have some questions about that, and she has some sign-up sheets for that that will be available at coffee today. On All Saints Sunday, the tradition in this congregation is that we read or show, in this case we're going to show them, the names of all of those saints that have gone before us, those who have passed away in the past year, or others who we want to draw our own attention to at this time. And so please let Anna Marie know, if you would, if there's anyone that should be on that list for this year. I will be away, and a number of people will be away at retreat at Bethlehem. So we'll be going, We're going to Bethlehem Retreat Center in Nanaimo. If you've signed up for that and you've paid, that's fantastic. If you have only given me the deposit, if you could get the rest of the money to us this week, that would be fantastic. So it's $140 per person. It is heavily subsidized by the church. If you can't if you aren't able to meet that, then please talk to me. There are bursaries available. I think that's enough for today. I'll let you have a look at all of the rest that are in here. If you have any questions, ask myself or Carrie or whoever's named there. And we give thanks for all of those volunteers who are helping with all of these things. Each time we gather, we light a Christ candle to remind us that God is always with us. And this day that we celebrate harvest and we celebrate those things for which we are thankful, we remember not only that we live on this land, but that this land has been inhabited time out of mind, that the Tsawwassen and Musqueam peoples have been on this land celebrating and giving thanks for this land for thousands upon thousands of years.
Please join me in the call to worship. When the wind blows, leaves fall, a trail of scarlet or gold, of brown or yellow. Your blessings fall on us like autumn leaves, floating past or swirling around or making piles of glory. Let us leap. And let us make a joyful noise.
Let us pray.
Please be seated.
Oh, thank you, yes. On a crisp October morning, when the sun shines in a blue sky between golden oak leaves, when the news gives us another atrocity,
there is grace. On the morning when we meet death for the first time and our lives change forever,
there is grace. When we have walked a hard road for so long and prayed, and the road is still hard,
there is grace. When we have triumphed and succeeded, and we want to claim all glory and honor to ourselves for our success, and forget that God gave us place and means, gave the soil for the planting and the sun for the growing.
When we have turned away from gratitude, even so,
there is grace. On the day when we clutch our anger to ourselves, rehearsing our grievance and practicing our righteous indignation, though we have turned away, even so,
there is grace. Christ Jesus, in the midst of grief, you offered grace in weeping. In the midst of abundance, you offer grace in sharing. In the midst of fear, you offer grace in laughing. In the midst of celebration, you offered wine and miracles.
And so we beg for grace today, that grace would fill our lives like the smell of leaves fills our breath. In our hearts, we name a place in our lives that needs grace. There is grace in the gathering, there is grace in the searching, there is grace in the crying and grace in the grieving. There is grace in the trying and grace in the leaving, there is grace in the rising and grace in the raising.
There is grace in the sharing and grace in confessing, God's grace in our living, God's grace our life's learning. Amen.
Happy Thanksgiving. Offer, first of all, a huge thank you to Dorothy and helpers. Dorothy and Kathy, thank you for this beautiful harvest display on our communion table. And not just the communion table, but the baskets in front of each cross. And I do invite you after the service to come up and look at the details. I've already gone and taken many photos. I woke up this morning thinking about rural ministry teams and rural ministers across our country today who are probably waking up in a different way than us in the city, thinking about a friend, Carla, who's a dairy farmer, and she gets up to milk cows at 3-something in the morning and has already done all that before coming to church. Think of the cranberry farmers that I drove by this morning harvesting the red fields. They're amazing. The fields in Richmond that are orange right now. I think of conversations this week I've had with people who have said, the first frost is coming. I need to go dig out my last potatoes. Yes, we are blessed in this weekend of Thanksgiving. And I always feel at this time of year that it really is a Thanksgiving. I send my little note to my American family and say, Happy Thanksgiving. And they kind of, Yes, because we celebrate the bounty. And God gives us all of this. So I invite you as you enter into this Thanksgiving week to look for the colors, not only of our fruits and veggies, but of the trees that are changing. I invite you to smell the freshness of the corn just being cut or the final grass cut of the fall, which we saw this morning. I invite you to listen to the geese that have started to fly across and the winter birds appearing, seeing, tasting. I'm sure you'll taste something this weekend, be it a pumpkin soup or a fresh homemade pie or maybe just a nice hot cup of coffee. So live into the senses and for all of us to be thankful. Amen. We are going to sing.
Eternal God, in the reading of the scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen.
A scripture reading this morning, the first one is from the prophet Joel, reading from chapter 2, verses 21 to 27. Do not fear, O soil, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The trees bear its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the late rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And for my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, reading from chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the faithful witness of God's people through the ages, the divine word to us today. Thanks be to God.
Thanksgiving. I'll move into the sermon in just a moment, but I'm sitting here thinking about my cousin, Michelle, who posted a picture last week of herself sitting in the seat of a combine harvester with her granddaughter in a baby seat beside her. She was wearing sleeveless t-shirt. Yesterday she posted a picture of them plowing the snow, which was 6 feet deep, in order to get food to the cows on the other side of the fence. Manitoba's declared a state of emergency. Not only do they have snow, but they also have flood. So hold them in your prayers, for theirs will be a very different kind of Thanksgiving. Would you pray with me? Holy One, may the words of Scripture inspire us. May our musings and wonderings bring us closer to you. Amen. On a hillside in Galilee, about 5,000 people came together to see and to hear Jesus of Nazareth. They expected a talk, and they received a miracle. They heard the great Sermon on the Mount, and then it came time when everyone was hungry, and they were far from a market or a fast food outlet. When no one knew how they would all be fed, a small boy stepped forward and offered his lunch to share, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And from that, a meal was shared that fed 5,000 people. A miracle. There are 2 takes on that miracle. One is that Jesus multiplied the food as if by magic, making food appear out of thin air. And the other take is that, inspired by the act of one small boy, others began to share what they had. And we know that in many ways this is a greater miracle. To persuade people to share may actually be more difficult than making a loaf of bread out of thin air. There was a great feast of thanksgiving and sharing. The people came together in a shared experience beyond anything that they had imagined. And they sought to take Jesus and make him a king. To hold on to that event, to hold themselves in that place, in that moment. Instead, Jesus vanished into the wilderness, up a mountain to pray, and the disciples, it says, escaped in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, a storm came up so strong that even these fisher folk were frightened. And they were even more frightened when Jesus came walking across the water to join them. And the storm calmed, and they reached the shore. And coming after Jesus were many of the people who had been fed on the hillside, looking for him, looking for the disciples. They knew he hadn't got into the boat with the disciples, and yet he was already there before them. And their first question is, when did you get here? Now, if you think about all that has happened in the story, that's an odd question. I might have different questions, but it is a telling question, a storytelling question. It tells us these people don't know where they are, and they don't know when they are. They don't know what time it is. And when they ask for bread, Jesus tells them about the real gifts, the real possibilities, the true bread from heaven. Determining what is real, what is true, and what is important is a thread that weaves all the way through this story, or perhaps a supporting beam that is often hidden. What is real and what is true and what is important? Let me tell you a story. A few years ago, my husband and I won tickets to the opera, The Magic Flute at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. Vancouver Opera had worked with the Coast Salish people to adapt Mozart's magic flute, this magical story of power and magic, with the Coast Salish traditions and patterns, images, and legends. And they used sets and projection to recreate the magic of a rainforest in BC and a coastline. The music was wonderful, and when the music is really, really good, I relax. And I dozed off. And then the music swelled and a cymbal crashed, and I came awake with a start, and on the stage, in the magic of theater, there were cedar trees actually growing out of the stage. And there was a scene of ocean waves and shoreline that was stunningly beautiful. And I was so overcome with the beauty of it that I said, "Oh!" And my husband thought I'd had a heart attack. And we were transported by a miracle of theater magic. Now, the wonderful thing about having a daughter who works as a stage manager is being invited backstage after the show to see how things work. Backstage, there are all these people who you don't see on the stage. There are ropes and pulleys and wires and lights. The set is on wheels so that it can be taken apart like a jigsaw puzzle. Performers wander around in magnificent robes, and assistant stage managers stand around wearing headsets, getting messages from above. And the conductor chats with performers and people like us lucky enough to be backstage. On both sides of the curtain, there is magic. Which is reality and which is the illusion? What is real? What is true? What is important? Now, for those on the stage, both forward and back, the whole thing is real. For the audience, they're not so sure. Long after the show is over, it will live on. They'll be humming the tunes as they walk home. They'll have memories of beauty. Images and legends and stories will be incorporated into their understandings of life in ways that they may not even recognize. The performance is ephemeral and brief, but its resonance may last for longer than we know. It is real in that way. Backstage, people have stepped behind the story, behind the wilderness that has been created on the stage. And they are the magic makers, where light and sound and voice, mechanics, electronics, and frankly, a lot of human sweat have come together in a single collaborative effort that brings audience, performers, orchestra, electricians, movers, managers, ushers, and volunteers, about 4,000 people, into one place in that shared experience. By a lake in Galilee, the usual rules of time and space were superseded. And if you go back to the opera stage, they or we are not always certain which side of the curtain we're on. Are we in the place where magic is made, or the place where magic happens? In religious terms, are we in the place where miracles are made, or in the place where miracles happen to us? If you're in the place where miracles happen to us, then you need to find that person again to make them happen. But if you are in the place where miracles are made, then you have a part in the making of the miracles. It is said that in Jesus, God pulled back that curtain, removed it. God took it from in between so that we are in both places at once. That is where the people beside the Sea of Galilee found themselves, and it is today the place where we can find ourselves. If God has removed the curtain from between, then the rules and restrictions and expectations of either side are no longer valid. The physics and economics have to be rethought. My place and your place in the continuum needs a new understanding. Now, we like to talk a lot, especially in North America, about being realistic, even while denying the truth in front of us. And Jesus talked so much about that. So the truth is that much of what we feel thankful for, which is still so beautiful and wondrous, and that we take for granted, so much is in danger. The people we thought were pulling the ropes and managing the lights didn't really know how. And like a little boy on a green hillside, it's the little children who lead us. On this day of thanksgiving for creation, may I remind you that as powerless as we feel, we are not. I know I cannot change the weather today. And yet what is terrifying is that we can change the climate. We have. We are miracle workers. We are actually standing where the curtain has been torn down, and we're asking, when did we get here? You don't need me to tell you what actions to take. There are wiser people to do that, and many of them are children. But I do invite you to enjoy a festival that takes you slightly out of place and time. By the rituals we observe, the type of food we serve, the ways we serve, in the telling of stories around a table, often we make the past present. Past meals, family gatherings, church services. Do not rush back into what we too often call the real world or real life. Remain, if you can, in that liminal space, that means the space between, where creative spills into the world and the place of the real and the place of miracles is fused. And when you ask what time it is, perhaps before you take the turkey out of the oven, use it as an opportunity to remember there is a much deeper answer to that question. On this weekend of ritual meals and family stories, I suggest to you a new ritual. As you sit down to your meal, whether or not you say grace, pass around jugs or a jug of water and have each person pour water for another. Children for adults, guests for hosts, teenagers for children. Water is the most sacred and essential thing we need for life. It is in the sharing and protecting that we will find new life. And it is in the simplest things and the simplest acts that miracles can begin. In the sharing of water, may we remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000, but also remember the water that is around us and the roles that we must now take if we are also the miracle workers with God's help. Amen. And we'll sing, O God, beyond all praising.
Oh,
Please be seated. Let us pray. Great and wondrous God, we have gathered together here to praise you and to give thanks for all the beauty and wonder that surrounds us. We give thanks for those people at the front lines of the battle to save it. We pray for children, teenagers, for Autumn Peltier, for a little Swedish girl standing in the face of those who believe that they are much more powerful. We pray for those who stand on guard for water in so many places at risk of their lives, and those who long for clean water. We give thanks that we just have the ability to wonder, to ask questions, to look around and experience that beauty and wonder. Holy One, we pray for those whose Thanksgiving Day will be different this year, or perhaps too much the same. We pray for those on the prairies affected by early storms, whose harvest now is destroyed. We pray for those shoveling their way out, and we pray for the humor that we know those people have. We pray for those in even more desperate circumstances who do not have enough food and certainly not enough to share. May they come together and find your grace. We pray for ourselves, challenged by the trials that are to come, wondering what we must do and what we can do, afraid of what you may ask of us, and trying to have courage, knowing that you will give us the strength for what is needed. Oh God, we pray for the members of the community that we share who cannot be here this day. Those who are sick, those who are just far away. We pray for those who are no longer with us. And we pray for those children that we may see today or tomorrow that we so rarely see, that relationships may be rekindled, that the sharing will be in laughter, that we will find our way to build on those relationships miracles. Holy One, you sent to us a great miracle, yourself in the form of a man. And so we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing Bringing in the Sheaves.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I'd like to ask the ushers to take the offering. Holy One, we offer to you a representation of all of those gifts of wealth and time and talents that we have. Bless what we have offered. May all that we give bring us all a little closer to your kingdom. Amen. Let us sing "Touch the Earth Lightly."
Thank you.
into the world. Love generously.
Care compassionately.
Love unselfishly.
Serve justly.
Love faithfully.
Listen carefully.
Pattern your love on Jesus Christ.
And know God's blessing.
Amen.